We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Both Joe and I love talking hockey with our next guest. You see him every national broadcast on NBC. I'm talking about Keith Jones. Hey, Keith, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Ron. How are you guys doing there?
Well, we're doing great. It's always fun to talk to you, that's for sure. Are you as surprised as a lot of people are by what the Penguins have been able to do this year despite all their injuries?
I'd have to say yes. You know, you're wondering when it's going to end, this great run of Penguins hockey, and you start to look at the injuries and you think maybe this is the year, but they've proven to be pretty resilient group. Mike Sullivan's done a great job of getting them to play a consistent style of hardworking and productive hockey, where they've defended well enough to win and have been entertaining during the process. So hats off to the Penguins and the way that they perform. They've been, in my eyes, one of the best stories around the league this year, especially in the absence of Crosby.
You mentioned Sullivan, Keith. Is there? I can't imagine there's too many coaches doing a better job than him.
There's only one, and it's close, and that's John Tortorella, and that's one of his best friends. So the two have a lot in common. They coach together on a couple of different occasions, and I'm not surprised that their honesty and their demanding style, but in a way that has some compassion to it, as proven to be a good way to get the most out of your players. And I think both coaches have very similar styles and beliefs, and that has translated to some really good hockey for both Columbus and Pittsburgh.
Keith, really interesting game the other day. Penguins come back against the Bruins, and the goalie situation has been a big story here. And one aspect of it the other day was Matt Murray getting mock cheered by the home crowd multiple times early in the game. Didn't play well in the Penguins locker room. Evgeny Malkin called it, quote, stupid, he told Rob Rossi, and also said, we hear that in Philly, not Pittsburgh. Some people thought it was a big deal. Some people thought it was nothing at all, normal. Where do you fall on that?
Well, hopefully it's a turning point for Matt Murray. Maybe the fans did him a favor in pushing him to another level, because he certainly played well after that, and I was, of course, working that game, and Brian Boucher and Eddie Olchuk both felt like Mike Sullivan should pull him after the first period. Mike Milbury and I both in the studio did not believe that he should pull him, and I thought it was smart that Mike Sullivan did not, only based upon the fact that the Jack Johnson redirection into his own net was the last goal that he allowed, and I would have given him one more. So Sullivan made the right choice. Murray backed him up, and the players playing in front of him took it to heart. The players recognize how important Matt Murray was to their two previous Stanley Cups. Love the way they reacted, and don't mind the way the fans reacted. To me, it's a win-win. The fans paid their money. They can do whatever they like. And if a guy's not performing to his potential, then you remind them. That's your job. And good for Matt Murray to bounce back, and also I really appreciate the way that the players had his back in their post-game comments, but I think all of them to a man would realize that if they weren't playing to their potential, that a little boo now and then doesn't hurt you that much. You're tough enough to take it, and you keep going and find a way to produce.
What do you think of Matt Murray, Keith, and what do you think of what Tristan Jarry has done?
I'm surprised that Jarry has taken over the net for the most part. That's been impressive. That kid has no quit in him. And Mike Sullivan has proven before he has no problem going with the hot hand, as Marc-Andre Fleury found out in a hurry as well. So I think Matt Murray is a world-class goaltender. I think that he has a proven track record. I think he'll find his game. But I also appreciate the fact that Mike Sullivan wasn't waiting around for him to find it. He found a different option and showed a willingness to use that option. Not the first time he's done that.
We're talking to Keith Jones, a terrific analyst for NBC Sports.
Keith, Chris Letang had an issue the other day with Brad Marchand going low, like ducking a couple of hits. One of which he was called for a penalty for, Letang was. Another one, he said he could have broken my knee on that play. What do you think of that play in general when guys do that, and specifically what Marchand did?
Well, Darius Kasparaitis tried it on me once, and I took the back of my stick and cross-checked him in the back of the neck and tried to drive his face into the ice.
You weren't upset about it at all, were you?
Exactly. And that's how you deal with that. But Marchand has done that throughout his career. He submarines guys, and he's been suspended for it before. So from Letang's perspective, I understand the frustration. From Marchand's perspective, he's a smaller player and has found a lot of different creative ways to avoid getting run over and missing time due to injury. So there is a bit of a survival instinct with that. But the other ones that he threw where he was suspended for were much more dangerous than the ones against Letang. They were borderline, but not suspendable. So I would say I'd give him a pass on those, but I love the spirit of Chris Letang and the way that he competes and the way that he doesn't take anything from anybody.
Keith, what the Penguins did without Crosby, missing 28 games, we thought was remarkable here. Sid has come back in four games, has three goals and five assists. How high up on the list still do you put him among the game's greatest players?
I still have him at the top, Ron. And when you watch him practice, you know why. He leaves no stone unturned. He continues to find ways to refine his game. He's never satisfied, and he is always ready when he returns from injury to get out there and play like Crosby. It's never enough just to be someone that's fitting in with a team that's playing well. He has to make sure that he's the best player on the ice than he has been since he returned. None of it's surprising. It's what's made him a great player, and we use the word great probably way too often to describe things that happen in hockey. It should be reserved for players like Crosby and Ovechkin who have proven over time that they are some of the greatest to ever play the game.
How about Malkin, Keith? The coach has raved here about how he came in with a new attitude this year. He was embarrassed by how he played last year and is playing a little bit more of a disciplined game, not taking the penalties, not giving up the puck as much, playing a full game. Do you see that too?
Yep, he's had a really good year. And again, he missed some time as well, Ron. So got to give him credit for his rededication to the game. He did have an off year last year. He looked disinterested at times. And he gained his focus. So not sure what took place in the off season. Maybe it was the meeting with Mike Sullivan. Maybe it was just Malkin deciding that it's a lot more fun being one of the best to play the game than just being an average player like he was last year. Now you worry that he starts to take a back seat to Crosby, but he hasn't in the four games that Sid's been back. He has to realize that he is as good or just about as good as Crosby and has to perform like that on a nightly basis and not wait for Sid to get it done. And Malkin has proven that he can do that. And there's reasons why this team has won multiple Stanley Cups, and he's one of the big ones.
Keith, couple items from around the league I'd like to get to. It's not like Galchenyuk has been Pavel Bure here, but what about Phil Kessel in Arizona? 31 points in 51 games and a robust minus 20. What's going on there?
He looks like he did at times with the Penguins when Phil just isn't around. He's not around the puck. When you watch him closely, and even when he was playing well with the Penguins, there's moments from upstairs where you go, geez, is he really even putting an effort in? But that's Phil's style. He's lucky he has Rick Tocchet as a head coach there to kind of allow him to be Phil and hope that he regains that point-producing style that he has had and demonstrated in the past. But if you put him under the microscope and watch him really closely, it's never that appealing, which has made Phil's career so remarkable. He almost looks like he doesn't enjoy playing the game, but we know that he can play the game. So I'm not shocked in a system in Arizona that's a little bit different. And on a team where they're asking him to be one of the guys that is keyed on a nightly basis by the opposition, You game plan for Phil when he was with Pittsburgh, but he was about fifth or sixth on the chart of guys that you were worried about. In Arizona, he's near the top, and that does not suit Phil Kessel very well.
Other league question is, who's your favorite right now in the East, and what do you make of the Lightning?
The Lightning don't scare me like they did last year, and that's probably a good thing for the Lightning. Everyone was keen for the Lightning. Every trade deadline move was to beat the Lightning. And much like the Capitals a few seasons ago before they won their Stanley Cup, it didn't work too well for the Lightning when the playoffs rolled around. This year, very few teams are keen on them. They have quietly gone about finding their game recently, and that makes them very good. And I think they're more dangerous this year because they're not the focus of everybody. So that's my take on Tampa. Would I be shocked if they pulled a Washington-like playoff run that leads them to a Stanley Cup? No, I would not. But I would not be picking them. And that, again, is probably good news for Tampa. The Capitals, in my eyes, are the best team, and they have the most depth, and they have the most feared style of play, because not just Wilson, but other players like Hathaway and Gudas can have a physical effect on the way the game is played. And that, I think, is a major advantage for the Capitals.
Keith, before we let you go, you're based in Philly. What do you expect out of Flyers Penguins tonight?
Some revenge on the mind of the Flyers after that 7-1 debacle in Pittsburgh on October the 29th. They've been very good at home, so I would expect them to play aggressively, rely on some saves along the way from Brian Elliott. I'd feel more comfortable if it was Carter Hart, but they are a good home team, and it will be a challenge for the Penguins. It'll be a lot different-looking team than what Pittsburgh faced early this season, so I don't think it's going to be 7-1. I think it's going to be a lot tighter, and games before an All-Star break and an extended break can go any which way but loose. I'm not sure what to expect from either club. Sometimes the guys have the beach ball in the back seat of the car when they arrive at the rink, or the bus is loaded with plane tickets to various places across the world that may be on the player's mind more than the game itself. But nothing like Flyers Penguins to keep you at least focused for a few moments on the game tonight.
I'm going to have to check Sid's car and see if he has a beach ball in it. I have a funny feeling he's not going to be one of those guys that's thinking about the vacation.
You would be correct.
Keith, we appreciate it as always, man. Have a great day. We'll look forward to talking to you again real soon and continue to watch you on NBC Sports.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day. See ya.
All right.
Great stuff.
Great stuff. How about the description? Having a beach ball in your car before the game tonight because you're looking forward to a vacation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.